Welcome on to a Wednesday night edition of the Dunked On Basketball Podcast. The finals are over, and that means we have a mere week now until the draft. And joining me is perhaps the guy who watches more film than just about anyone that I can think of in the public sphere, Draft Express's Mike Schmitz. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Nate? Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those who don't know, Mike is basically the man behind those awesome Draft Express scouting videos that you see. He's been doing that, I think, for the last 2.5 years or so now. And that really is a product that has revolutionized the draft scouting for me. He basically breaks down the strengths and weaknesses of every player that's anybody in the draft, really, like top 40 or 50 guys or so. Isn't that right, Mike?
Yeah, we usually try and hit the top 40 or so, then some international guys, and some throughout the year that maybe don't end up in the top 40. So, yeah, it usually ends up around 40 or 50.
Yeah, so just incredibly prolific, watches more film than pretty much anyone. And I always find, too, you know, I try not to watch your videos until I've seen a little bit of the guys myself because, you know, frankly, I really respect your opinion, and I don't want to be, like, kind of, you know, influenced by that too much in kind of my own opinions on guys. But then invariably, of course, I will, after having come to my own opinions, watch your video just to see whether there's anything I missed. And it usually, you know, we're both right on the same page. So it's, and you really catch everything with so many of these guys. You go to all these events. So really a great product you guys should check out on Draft Express. So the first question I wanted to ask you is, what's your process for making those videos? How long does it take you? And what kind of film do you watch to come up with that?
Yeah, it's kind of a year long process, or a few years even, with some of these guys, just seeing them in high school. So I try and see most of the big guys live, or the main prospects, at least once. Go to a lot of games on the West Coast, and then some of the preseason stuff. So getting a feel for them throughout, the high school circuit and then in college. And then I'll watch games throughout the year, obviously, take notes. So it's kind of an ongoing process. And then, toward the end of the year, I'll have some stuff cut up already from throughout the year. And we do all those matchup videos. So sometimes I have, some stuff from those matchups as well. But on top of that, I try and watch, five full games or so, in addition to all the other stuff I've done. And, you pick the best matchups, the best competition. And then, oftentimes it's good to see maybe their best game and their worst game. So you get kind of a feel for, they're probably somewhere in the middle there. And, so I watch all that, and then I make, cut up the video, make all the slides and the graphics, in Photoshop I use for all that. And then I kind of piece the whole thing together. So it's, like I said, it's kind of a year-long process of, scouting and evaluating these guys. And then in terms of actually putting it all together and the arrows and the freeze frames and all that, that usually takes, a full day of work. So it's quite the process, but, I've been doing it for a few years now, and I really enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to this draft in just over a week here.
Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome. And why don't we get into that a little bit? So personally for you, who's your number one pick right now? I guess we'll start with the most basic question.
Yeah, for me, it's Karl Towns. He really opened some eyes. I think you might have been there last year at Hoop Summit. When he was, stroking threes and you could see the touch and the way he moved. And since then, I mean, he's really improved his body, his explosiveness. And you didn't see really the whole package at Kentucky. And I think that was, by design. I think, they wanted to toughen him up a little bit, play him inside, because that was one of his knocks, is that he, wasn't the toughest guy, like to float on the perimeter. So I think now you're seeing, a kid with the ability to stretch the floor. Now he's toughened up, he's worked on his body, so he's an inside outside guy. And I think he can play either the four or the five. He gives you some rim protection, rebounding. So, I mean, he's just a really versatile guy, who's a lot easier to build around in my mind, just because, you know, his versatility on offense and on defense. And I was at a workout out here in LA, and, you know, there's obviously only so much you can take away from a 1-on-0 workout, but I mean, I was like blown away, just with, you know, it was basically they're rolling the ball out and letting him go. And I mean, his handle, his athleticism, he was drilling step back threes. It was mind boggling. So, to me, he's far and away the number one pick.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on the fit. I mean, he strikes me as a guy who, from the five position, could basically be, you know, a Channing Frye level of shooter. Ultimately, I mean, he's probably a much better shooter now than Channing Frye was when he was a freshman at Arizona.
Right.
And then also throw in the ability to get down in the post offensively, so you can't guard him with the small. How good do you think his post game is now, and how does it project ultimately in the NBA?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for him. I think my problem with him originally, maybe at Hoop Summit last year, was that I thought he wanted to be Channing Frye type and only Channing Frye, and that was kind of the comparison I used as well. And but, you know, we saw a lot more of the low post stuff this year, and I think his post game is fairly basic right now. I think he got by a little bit on being stronger than guys, just kind of 2-pound dribbles, lowering his shoulder, and, you know, baby hooks. But I think, you know, he's worked on his body. He's gotten quicker. He's working on his footwork. And I think he'll be a guy who will be able to make, you know, turnaround jumpers over either shoulder in time, just because he has such good touch and he's long. He's got a high release. So, I think he'll be able to add that to his game. I'm not sure he's ever going to be an Okafor type, you know, with the up and unders, the quick spins and all that stuff. I'm not sure that's really his game. So I think his value to me is more so as a stretch, who's going to space the floor, but can also get buckets in the post, rather than a guy who's like a dominant low post force.
Yeah, I think that kind of strikes me that way as well. You know, he doesn't seem like a guy who has a lot of counter moves at this stage. But, you know, again, with the size that he has, he doesn't necessarily need that, especially with today's NBA. You know, if you're going to have a guy who can both guard him, who can guard him on the perimeter, then that's someone that he can probably take down on the block. And if you're going to go smaller against him to guard against what should end up being a great pick and pop game, ultimately, then that's the kind of guy he can kind of put in the goal the way he did on some of those post-ups in college. Defensively, where do you think he is right now? And, you know, can he be kind of just a good, is he going to be just a good defensive center, or does he have the ability to be like even like defensive player of the year type of guy ultimately at some point?
Yeah, I don't see that with him. I do think he's going to be good defensively. You know, I don't think he'll be a liability at all. I think he can guard pick and roll. He can, you know, most teams in the NBA now are kind of dropping in pick and roll, so I think he'll be fine with that. But he can also, you know, hedge and recover. He moves really well. And then he's going to give you some rim protection too, which, you know, he's not going to be Rudy Gobert by any means. But, you know, he's looked a little more explosive. He's getting a little more lift. He has really good timing as a shot blocker too. I think he has room to improve some fundamental stuff. He has a tendency to, you know, get in foul trouble, get a little overexcited, and, you know, bite on fake, you know, shot fakes and stuff like that. But I mean, with his strength, he'll be able to guard the post. With the way he moves, he'll be able to guard the pick and roll. And with his size and length, and ability to get off the ground, he's going to be able to protect the rim a little bit. So, I don't think there's any liabilities there with him defensively. But with that said, I'm not sure he's like a monster defensive guy.
Yeah, I think that he has an extremely high floor just with his ability to shoot the ball and play passable defense at center. I mean, just having a center who can shoot like that and open up the floor for everyone else, someone that you would have to kind of stick to in the pick and pop, you know, if he ends up being that level of shooter. I mean, now he didn't shoot at all at Kentucky. Are you convinced that he can be a guy who's going to be a good three-point shooter from NBA range? He didn't show that in competitive games in college.
Yeah, I am. He just has a really good touch. It's not like the most conventional shot. I mean, he's got a little like movement there in his release, but he has really, really good touch. I mean, he shot, you know, over 80% from the line this year. I think he's going to be a really, really good shooter at the NBA level.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, in sometimes free throw percentage is even a better predictor of how good a shooter you're going to be in the NBA than your college three-point, because you're usually dealing with such a small sample. Isn't that right?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. You can really see touch and mechanics. And, you know, some info that we have, I know he hasn't shot in a lot of threes in the past, but in our database, he made, like, in the FIBA, let's see, 2011, he was playing for Dominican Republic. It was, like, under 17 team, and he was shooting. He shot, like, 8 threes per 40 and shot 46%, you know, in four games. That's not a huge sample, but still,
and
I mean.
That's the FIBA line, too, isn't it? That's not even, like, the high school line. That's 22 feet, right?
Right, yeah. So it's, I mean, yeah, it was 10 for 22, which, again, is not a big sample, but, you know, that's legitimate FIBA play. And in high school, he was shooting like 10 threes a game. I'm pretty sure, obviously, that's high school. All these guys have free reign. But he's been like a stretch type of guy for a while. So it's just, like I said, I think Kentucky really wanted to toughen him up, and they needed him inside. And so it worked and helped make him a lot more versatile.
So why don't we move on to Jahlil Okafor now. Is he your number two guy, or is there someone else just on your own personal board?
Yeah, he's my number two guy. I think, you know, it's easy to get excited about all these other guys because Okafor is a little bit vanilla, just in that he's, you know, he's a back to basket guy, and he's a 15 feet and in type of guy. But I just don't see how you can pass. Like, I don't see how he really busts. You know what I mean? I don't see how he flops. Like, he's pretty much a 7-footer with a 7'5" wingspan who can pass and who can score. You know, I think he's not the most modern day, you know, center these days, modern day big man with his, you know, lack of floor spacing. But I think he's a guy you can build around. He doesn't give you as much flexibility with Towns, because you kind of need a guy who's going to space the floor and provide, you know, some defense and rim protection at the four spot, which, you know, those guys, as you know, don't really grow on trees. So I think that's the tough thing. But, I mean, he's so polished, and, you know, I think he's going to continue to get in better shape. He can pass. So I still think, you know, for me, he's still the number two prospect.
Have you seen him? He's working out at P3, right?
Yeah, I did see him up there.
Yeah, how did he look? Reports were that he kind of had cut up a little bit. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, he looked really good. He looked almost like a four. You know what I mean? I mean, like a bigger four, but he didn't look extremely out of shape, and he was working, going through all their stuff. They do a really, really good job assessing these guys and areas they need to improve, you know, physically and injury prevention and all that stuff. So, I mean, he was in there getting work in. I didn't see him do any on-court stuff because, you know, they didn't quite give us access to that. But you could tell, I mean, he looked like he's in really good shape, and he's, you know, he's obviously been putting some work in. So, I just think it's almost a mentality thing, the defensive stuff with him. It's not so much like, oh, he's, you know, you worry about the weight stuff, but, I mean, this guy's never had to play defense. You know what I mean? He's won at every single level. He just won a national championship as a freshman. In his mind, he's probably just like, why? You know, I win. I'm phenomenal offensively.
And when you consider, too, like how ridiculous college refs are, I mean, they have no concept of verticality. They're going to call fouls if you're challenging shots inside so many times, which, frankly, to me, aren't justified. He has to play 30 minutes a game at Duke. You know, he didn't really have anyone behind him. I think in some ways it's almost better for him to not play defense and stay on the floor.
Right. No, totally. I'm with you. And the thing is, if he was a guy if he was like a short armed guy who like really couldn't move at all and had, you know, all these physical deficiencies, then I'd get it. You know what I mean? But like, you can't say that he's never going to have a chance to at least be a passable defender. You know what I mean? I think he just really needs to get coached hard. And sometimes the mentality thing is something that is tough to change, because so much of defense is like that dog and fight inside of you. So that is a bit worrisome. But I mean, the guy, you know, he's got good size. He's got a 7'5" wingspan, and he's not overly explosive, but he's not stiff. So I think he's got some room to grow there. But yeah, offensively he's special, and he appears to be in pretty good shape. So
yeah, you know, I think he could be. And I watched, actually before we talked, you did a really nice video integrating some of Duke's SportView player tracking stats with him defensively. And in watching that, I felt like he actually wasn't that bad on the plays where he actually made an effort. You know, he was able to he's got quicker feet than you might think. He was able to get his chest in front of guys, and, you know, he's a big chested guy. He can kind of, you know, do verticality and bump guys off of their shots a little bit inside.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, when the efforts are there, it's not as terrible as people, you know, it's perceived. So I think it's just about getting coached and learning how to, you know, play with that type of mentality.
So offensively, my question about him is, I go to the site hoopmath.com, which kind of splits it into what they call 2-point jumpers, which is basically non-layups, I guess, as recorded by the play-by-play. Don't know exactly how accurate that is from school to school, but he shot 50% on shots outside of the immediate basket area. We can say that's crazy high for a guy who's posting up with a body on him on most of these shots, isn't it?
Yeah. No, that is surprising to me too. I mean, his touch is really good, and you know, it almost, his mechanics aren't great on his jump shot, and his, you know, the 51% is obviously not great. But you saw as the year went on, he kind of added that quick little face up Tim Duncan-esque type of, you know, 10, 12 foot jumper. And he shoots it with pretty soft touch. You know what I mean? I'm not like throwing away the idea that he's going to be able to make an elbow jumper in time, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And his touch on hook shots is right. Unbelievable. I mean, and, you know, I was like, all right, this could be small sample. Nobody can shoot 50% on those type of shots. But then, you know, he took 160 of them this year, and he made 80 of them. So it's like, you know, that seems like enough. And he's done it. He's shot those shots and made them at every level. Like, in some ways, you know, Steph Curry takes a bunch of bad threes, but he makes them at an awesome rate. I think that Okafor, maybe he's just an outlier with his ability to be efficient in that sort of 3 to 9 foot range, because he just keeps making those shots. But that, to me, is going to be the difference between whether he's just good or is really like an unstoppable force that has to be double teamed all the time.
Right. I mean, he's got the huge hands, you know what I mean? So he has really good command of the ball, and then he has really nice touch. I think something he does need to add, though, is he's very right hand heavy. I forget, someone was telling me they tracked maybe all of his shots on Synergy or something like that, and it was like maybe he took 3 left handed jump hooks all year or something like that. Something crazy. So, you know, when you think of these overly skilled guys, you think right hand, left hand all the time. And I think he probably has fine touch with his left hand. It's just, I think that's an area where he can continue to get better, is feeling more comfortable getting into that left hand. But you're totally right. I mean, he makes so many tough shots in that area, and I think it's gonna translate for him.
Yeah, I will humbly disagree with you on that left hand thing. I think that he, like, right around the rim, he shoots with his right when he should shoot with his left sometimes. But I think when he does shoot with his left, I think it's good. And further away from the rim, I am of the belief that, like, the offhand jump hook is a massively overrated shot in basketball. And that's sort of like the holy grail of big man skill these days. But how many guys can really make that shot consistently? I could think of maybe, like, you know, 2-3 guys in the whole league that you really want them shooting that shot. So I will humbly disagree with you, although you are much more expert on that than I am, but I think his left hand's going to be okay in time, because it's really like right at the basket that I think the left hand matters more.
Right. No, I agree with you there. And he has such great touch with his right, and he palms that thing like a softball. So he's going to be able to get it off from different angles and stuff like that. And if you have such great touch on your jump hook with your right hand, even if it is over your right shoulder, I'm with you on that. I just think it's something, you know, like you said, around the rim, you'd like to see a little more moving forward.
All right, so why don't we get to kind of the two point guards who are in the conversation. I mean, it's accurate, really, that for much of the year it was kind of considered Towns, Okafor, and then D'Angelo Russell and Emmanuel Mudiay were kind of the consensus top four, right?
Yeah.
And do you still kind of see that being the case now, or do you think that someone else is going to get into that top four?
In terms of just players in the top four, or you?
Where people are going to get drafted?
I think Porzingis has a real chance to slide in there. I know the Lakers are kind of, you know, obviously reports are reports, but the Lakers are kind of, you know, considering him, at least giving him a look at number two. And I wouldn't be shocked if Philly took him, to be honest. He just has a lot of upside, man. I mean, he's far from a sure thing, but I think, you know, you can say Russell is really, really safe because he can shoot a little bit, he can really pass, he's got good size. It's hard to see him like failing in the NBA, you know what I mean? But whereas Porzingis very, very well could, but he 7-1 and he shoots the piss out of it. Like I was at that Vegas workout, and again, 1-0 workout, whatever, but I mean, NBA range, on the move, step backs, like to me he was a better shooter than Karl Towns, and Karl Towns is a pretty damn good shooter. So and he moves. I mean, I could really see him slipping into the top three and at least the top five. So but outside of that, I think, you know, Russell, I think maybe Cauley-Stein could maybe sneak in the top five. Maybe Mudiay. I kind of feel like he's sliding a little bit, although I really like him. There's a lot of different things that can happen. And I think the Porzingis train is kind of, mixing some things up a little bit.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about. And we can get into Mudiay and Russell and maybe even Porzingis a little bit more. But the idea that at this time, we haven't seen film on any of these guys, new film, you know, unless you're talking about Hezonja, in months now. But yet they haven't played any games, but yet there's still guys who are quote-unquote rising or quote-unquote falling. What do you think of that? Is that just kind of more drummed up by agents? Does the effect of these workouts really make that big of a difference? Because, I mean, to say that after these guys' seasons are complete, now you're going to have somebody pop into the top five who wasn't there before – seems a little bit odd to me, but maybe that stuff is that important.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree. I mean, I try and, you know, put a lot of weight in the season and, you know, watching these guys in actual competition because, workouts can be a little deceiving, especially when it's not like a competitive, you know, 5-on-5 or 3-on-3 setting. With that said, I think there are some guys who just are in certain situations where they're really not able to show, you know, the full package. And a lot of guys use that as a cop out that, you know, that's fine, coach didn't let me shoot or whatever. But with a lot of these guys, you know, Porzingis being one of them, like just really seeing him just free flowing, running up and down the court, moving, you know, shooting on the move, doing things that maybe at Sevilla he didn't do a ton of. Just seeing that, especially so close to the draft, can kind of play with your mind a little bit. And I think some of it is valid. You know what I mean? You want to see these guys, really up close and see what they can do when they're just given free rein to go because, some of these guys, like I said, have some skill that maybe they weren't able to show off as much. And I think another thing that goes into it, with the rising and falling stuff is a lot of the personality stuff. You know, these teams aren't able to talk to these guys until I'm not sure the exact date, but you know, at the combine they're interviewing all these guys, and I know Porzingis obviously once he came over here interviewing him and doing a lot of you know, sports psychology type of testing and to really get to know what makes these kids tick. So I think you know, there's a lot of weight in that as well. But with all that said, I think sometimes it is a little ridiculous that, you know, people will be, you know, hating on a guy all year or loving a guy all year, and then you see a 1-0 workout and everything changes. So I think, you know, they have some value, and I think guys do slide up and down this time of year. But I think that you should always put, you know, a lot of stock in the actual season and gameplay.
Well, so why then to you is Porzingis not in this conversation with Towns and Okafor?
I think to me, he doesn't quite have, you know, one, the feel, I think, is not even so much the body, just like the feel. I think I got some stats here. Like we have 1,801 minutes of him in our database, and he has 43 assists and 115 turnovers. You know, he's a young kid, and I just think, like reaction, you know, that kind of reverts to reaction time on defense also. Just like really understanding the game, basketball instincts. I think that's a big question for him. And for me, that's even more so than the body stuff. You could tell like he's got no ass, and no chest really. I mean, he's always going to be a thinner guy, but I mean, he's got wide shoulders and his, you know, I think his legs aren't as terrible as people, make him out to be. So I think he's going to fill out okay. And it's not going to be a huge issue, but like, I mean, Jahlil Okafor can really pass. Karl Towns can really pass. I think with him, he's going to really need to, adjust to the speed of the game. And, you know, especially if he's going to be playing a stretch four, you really have to be able to, you know, if you're catching the ball on a quick swing and you got a guy closing out to you, you have to know, like, okay, which way am I attacking? Where do I have a shooter in, you know, the opposite corner? Like, where's the help coming from? You know, so I think that's a really important skill, especially for that position. So I think that's where some of the worry comes with him, along with the body stuff.
Yeah, when you say position, you mean the four. I see that's where he's going to be, right, at least, you know, early on in his career. Yeah,
right.
Does he have any moves?
He's not, to me, he's not like a post. He's not really a post guy. I don't really see him as like a back to the basket guy. You know, I think you can see a little bit on film. He can turn over, you know, his left shoulder and make a fadeaway because he's got such good size, got a high release and really nice touch. I think he's more of like a face-up guy. I mean, he can give you two hard dribbles right and step back and make a jumper, do the same thing going left, you know what I mean? Or he can pick and pop and attack a closeout. Or I don't really ever see him being like a back-to-the-basket type of guy, you know what I mean? Which probably bodes well for him in today's NBA anyway. It's just what there is to like about him is the fact that he moves really well. I mean, he's far from a stiff. He can run. He can jump a little bit. He's got good size. He's long. And he really shoots it. Like, that was the first time I'd seen him live. And, you know, you can see it on film. He really shoots it well. But, I mean, he really shoots it. And this was in front of there's nobody guarding him, but there's, you know, almost 10 GMs there. Every NBA team is represented. And here's a 19-year-old kid, you know what I mean, who kind of just got to the States, and he was cool as
plenty
ice.
Plenty of pressure. Yeah.
Cool as ice. And you know, everything, all the intel on him is really, really good. Like, he's a kid who he speaks perfect English. I interviewed him for, like, 10, 15 minutes. Speaks perfect English, loves the NBA, like, worker. I think he's got all the stuff to be really, really good. But yeah, he's not quite like a back to the basket type of guy, but he has good touch on his jump hook. So that's a start.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see him quite having the explosion or the moves off the dribble or from a triple threat necessarily either, but you know, I mean, that length is what's really, you know, you want to at first stereotype him as kind of this, you know, soft Euro shooter, but he's probably even longer and taller than most of those guys are. And when you see that he's able to block shots as well, that's when I think you kind of, that's what makes him more intriguing. All right, so let's talk about Moutier and Russell now. We are moving at a slow pace, but that's how our conversations tend to go because we get into the details. Let me ask you this about Russell. Is his shooting for real? Do we know that?
I think he's a good shooter, to be honest. I don't think he's like, I mean, nobody's Steph Curry, you know what I mean? But I think he's a good shooter. I would think he's like a 35 to 38% type of guy, maybe in the NBA. Like, I don't think he's like a knockdown shooter by any means.
What makes you say that?
He's just more of like a, he's more of a shot maker to me. You know what I mean? He doesn't have like the most conventional mechanics. He kind of flings it a little bit. But he made a ton of tough shots and, his pull-up game is nice. I just, you know, I he doesn't have the most conventional mechanics. I was at his workout as well. Again, 1-0 workout. You know, people have bad days, but I was a little bit underwhelmed with him as a shooter. You know, seeing him like 2 feet away. But I think, you know, he's one of those guys who just he's ultra confident. And he, you know, he can create space a little bit, and he just makes tough shots. So. Yeah, for me, I don't think he's like a knockdown guy.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, because to me, that's like the number one appeal of him is this, you know, the fact that he shot this 41% on threes on admittedly a high number of attempts, and you know, a lot of those are tough shots too. I mean, did he project as this good of a shooter coming out of high school?
Again, he was more of like a shot maker. So we have some stats on him: EYBL, Adidas Nations. On 112 attempts, he was 32%.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's not, and he's not the most of, he's not the kind of like, you know, 85-90% free throw shooter guy that you see some of the best shooters in the NBA being. Well, but what he does bring though is just to me, he is probably the most creative passer that I can remember seeing in like the last 5 years or so coming out of college.
Yeah, no question. His vision is ridiculous, and he, you know, you saw it a couple times this year when he's hitting the guy on the back screen, like through traffic.
He'll throw that one handed. Yeah, the Matt Fay pass off the ground with the spin on it.
Unbelievable.
That is sick.
Yeah,
That's like one of my favorite passes ever. Those passes.
Oh, I agree. No, he's a stud, and he's a guy who's never gonna look like phenomenal in a workout setting, you know what I mean? His you know, best attributes are like 5-on-5 play, understanding the game, you know, holding help defenders in a certain spot and then delivering the ball at the right time, you know what I mean? And he's a guy who really plays like the right way, which I like. There's a lot of guys who, point guards nowadays, who are just like assist hunting is what I call it, right? I mean, they're only going to pass when they get an assist, and they just pound the ball like, he moves the ball ahead, you know what I mean? He makes the extra swing pass, like the hockey assist. Like, he does all that stuff at a really, really high level. So when you combine, you know, the size, he's got a really good frame, he's got good length, and he can make shots and really, really pass. I think he's like a no-miss guy. I do worry a little bit about the lack of explosiveness with him.
Yeah, well, I kind of agree with you there. I think that, you know, he doesn't really seem to have a lot of feel finishing around the rim either. No right hand, as you noted
right
in your scouting video, and that I, you know, in watching myself confirm, I think he shot maybe like 2 shots with his right hand all year, and he's one of these guys who like will really go out of his way to shoot it left-handed even when he probably shouldn't.
Right.
And then also like from a, like kind of a competitiveness standpoint in the floor game, like what do you think of that? Like his rebounding, his, you know, going after loose balls, intensity on defense, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, he's a very lax guy. He's just like a he's you know, you can see it even in his interviews. I love him. I think he's an awesome kid, but he's like, that's just his personality. Like, he's not like a rah rah type of guy. He's more just like a cool customer, and sometimes that shows, you know, defensively. I think his effort kind of comes and goes with that. I think like so much of defensive is effort. Like if he really, really, really locked in, like I think he could be okay. You know, I don't think he would be like a major liability. Cause he's got good length. He's strong. You know, I think he can move okay laterally. Like nobody, I mean, everyone always says people who are around Klay Thompson, like this is obviously not comparing those guys at all, but, you know, when he was younger, like no one would have ever thought he would be the defender he is now, you know? So I think so much of it is effort, but, no, you're right. I mean, he's kind of a lax guy. And, so I think, you know, the athleticism in the NBA is going to be a bit of an adjustment for him. But he's got all the other stuff, no question.
So Emmanuel Mudiay spent the year in China. I think that calling him sort of a mystery is a little, you know, ridiculous, since he was, you know, one of the highest recruited players. But, you know, he's played only 12 games in China due to that ankle injury. To set the scene first, how good is the level of competition in the CBA? And you know, it's kind of just a weird league overall.
Super weird league, you're right, because there's such a disparity between the Americans and the, you know, the locals. You know, you get it's a very high-paced league, really high scoring. I mean, guys averaging, you know, in the 30s points per game, and it's not a very defense-heavy league. So I think he's taken a lot of heat just in, you know, it, when people say good things about how he performed and all that, they say, ah, it's CBA, whatever. Which I get to a certain extent. You know, there's not a lot of high level defense there, but there are a lot of good Americans playing in that league, some talented guys. And I mean, this kid was 18 years old and he went over there, you know, straight out of high school and had some pretty impressive games versus grown men. You know what I mean? Whether they're the most physically imposing guys or not, I think just doing that in general is pretty impressive. And you know, says a lot about him as a kid. So, I think that's impressive, but again, it's not the most competitive league, but a lot of good Americans and it's a professional basketball league.
Is it better than college?
Say it again.
Is it better than, like, you know, top 25 college teams?
I think in terms of, you know, team defense and structure and intensity, I think that, you know, college is probably better there. But in terms of, like, overall talent, I think that, you know, the CBA is better.
Yeah, and I watched those two playoff games. For those who don't know, he played about 10 games, sustained an ankle injury, and then you can only have two Americans active at once, and they can only play, you know, a combined, like, you know, I forget what the number of minutes is, like 70 minutes or something like that combined in the game. And so he then was deactivated because he had this injury. They signed Will Bynum, and then they went down 2-0 in the playoffs, and they surprisingly activated him. He was healthy again, and he played the last two games against Beijing, which is a pretty good team. It has, you know, some pretty good former NBA guys and decent Chinese guys also. I thought that those games against Beijing were like pretty high level competition. Do you agree with me or am I missing that?
No, I agree with you. Beijing's that's a really good team. And, you know, obviously Stephon Marbury is old, but I mean, he can play, you know what I mean? And
they have Randolph Morris too, right?
Yep. Randolph Morris, Sun Yu, he was a former Laker draft pick.
6'9" guy who guarded Mudiay a lot in those games.
Right. Right. So that's not a bad team, and he came in, at least that first game he played, he had 24, 8, and 4, you know. I mean, he did some stuff. So I've always been in the Mudiay slight edge over Russell camp, and I've kind of stuck with that. Jury's still out, obviously, but I just think that you really have to be able to beat guys off the dribble in the NBA. And obviously, he needs to get better as a shooter. He's not the most high-effort guy. You know, we talked about Russell. He's not – his kind of comes and goes as well. But I think people really undersell his passing ability. Like, this dude is a point guard. You know what I mean? Like, he can really, really pass. And
he's got the point guard handle, too, at 6'5".
Right. He's got the handle. And with him, he could be, like, a two-way guy. You know what I mean? Again, a lot of that is mentality. But he's quick. He's strong. He's long. He has good size. You know, he can guard ones and twos. Like, he could be a two-way guy. So I just think that he's got a little bit of a higher ceiling than Russell.
So it sounds like, some of the latest mocks have him going, you know, 6 to the Kings. Do you think that might undervalue him a little bit?
I think so. I think some of it also, though, is, I'm not sure that he's been handled in the best way throughout this process. Just, he's a really, really good kid. And, from everything I've heard, just maybe not always the best people around him. And, one of our guys was at one of his workouts recently, and it was just kind of, a mess. The trainers weren't really pushing him. He was walking up and down the court, you know what I mean? So I think this entire process, and then along with the rise of, you know, Porzingis and Russell being so solid, has kind of dropped his stock a little bit.
Yeah, you know, what I kind of like about him, let me ask you this, too. Has he always been this bad of a free throw shooter? Only shot 57% in China. I had access to some of the, like, just the All-Star game stats. He never really shot well in any of those games. Is that an aberration, or has that always been an issue for him?
Yeah, it always has, pretty much. We got 112 attempts, 62% before China, and that's like EYBL, Adidas Nations, Hoop Summit, stuff like that. So, yeah, that's always been kind of an issue for him.
Yeah, and that really might give you some pause about his ability to develop as a shooter, though. I mean, he was hitting, he shot 34% on obviously limited number of attempts on NBA threes. The CBA in China plays the NBA rules. But yeah, I mean, I think that's such a small sample that, you know, though it does kind of shoot those with confidence, you wonder. And his form's not the greatest, is it?
No, yeah, he's kind of a shoots on the way down. It's always different, you know, fades to the left kind of guy. But I don't know. I mean, to me, he's not like an Elfrid Payton non-shooter, you know
no,
what I mean?
No, I agree.
So I think if in time, he could be a guy when, you know, if the defense goes under every single time, like, he's going to be able to, you know, shoot 35% on, you know, those type of threes. So with his size and in quickness, I think that's, you know, he's never going to be great, but he can be passable if he's able to do that.
Yeah, and he's much better than guys, you know, to whom he's been compared, guys like Westbrook, Rose, John Wall. I think he's way ahead of where any of those guys were at this stage, but he's also not quite like the nuclear athlete that those guys are. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, totally. I think his athleticism gets a little bit overplayed. I think he's quick, but he's not going to go like bang on you at the rim consistently. You know what I mean? So I think those comparisons are unfair to him. But I also agree with he's ahead of those guys as a shooter. So and he can really pass.
All right. So another guy I wanted to ask you about is Cameron Payne, not a guy that not a lot of guys know about, out of Murray State, sophomore this year, about 18 months older than Russell and Moutier. Very impressive on film, granted at a low level of competition. Why, to you, is he – tell me why D'Angelo Russell is better than he is.
Yeah, I think a big thing is just the physical stuff. I mean, he measured 6'1.5" in shoes at the combine, you know, so that's almost 4 inches shorter than D'Angelo. He's got long arms for his size, 6'7" wingspan, but he doesn't have a great body. He's like 180 pound soaking wet type of kid, you know, if you're that size, you hope that, the guy has like some real burst to him, but he's more of a fluid kind of athlete. I mean, he's not like a freaky, explosive type of guy. So, I think the physical stuff is a big reason for sure. And then just the level at which he played at, you know, D'Angelo got it done at a pretty high level, major Division I basketball. Whereas, you know, Murray State, obviously not the greatest level. He has good numbers, but, you know, 50% from two is okay. 37 from three is okay. You know, he's fun. He's got a really good feel, kind of similar to D'Angelo. But he just doesn't quite have like the physical attributes to me.
Yeah, I was very impressed that, you know, despite the fact that he's not the fastest guy, nobody could stay in front of him. Like, he has a ton of moves, ton of hesitations, crossovers, like fake spins. I thought all of that is very impressive, but it sounds like you think that that might just be a little bit more a function of some of the competition that he was facing.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. But, no, you're right. I mean, he's a basketball player. Like, he's just one of those kids who has like that hooper gene, a lot of people say, you know what I mean? He just, you could tell he's been playing this game for a long time. He has fun playing it. He's got all the dribble moves. He freezes guys left and right. He can really pass. So, you know, a big thing with him is, I'm interested to see how well he shoots it, in the NBA. He kind of had green light to do whatever he wanted at Murray State as a shooter. They ran him off a lot of screens. You know, he's pulling up out of ball screens from deep. But seeing him at the combine, and he just did the shooting stuff, but like his mechanics, and they're not the, you know, it's not the prettiest shot out there. So I'm interested to see how that translates for him.
Yeah, me too. I think that'll be big for him, because he's not, I think he has pretty darn good feel given his athleticism for finishing at the rim, good body control, shoots great with the floater game, pretty decent, if not amazing, offhand. But, you know, still didn't shoot the greatest percentage at the rim, and that's against, you know, sort of Ohio Valley competition. Although he did have a really good game against Xavier. I think that was the one kind of really good team that they played this year. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's the shooting that's going to be the big thing for him. So you think it's really just more of a size thing and a level of competition thing that separates, puts him a tier down from guys like Russell and Moutier?
Yeah, that's what I would say. And he's, you know, a couple years, almost 2 years older. But, again, he's an awesome player to watch. And, yeah, he's got that Mike Conley offhand floater down pat.
What do you think of Willie Cauley-Stein potentially being in the top five?
I really like Willie. I always have. I've been a big fan of his for a long time, just especially with the way the NBA is going, with just defensive versatility, like being able to switch ball screens, block shots, you know, that's so important now. And he can guard so many different positions that I think he gives you so much on the defensive end. I worry a little bit about, you know, his psyche and his ability to be like an every night guy, you know what I mean? If you're getting a guy in the top five, that's usually what you want, especially if he's fairly one dimensional on the floor. I think I have him rated at like, you know, number seven or something like that. So, I mean, I really like him. I really like his defensive versatility. I think he can run the floor, catch lobs, all that is great, but he's never going to be a guy who's going to do much on the offensive end outside of finishing offensive rebounds. And I think he thinks he's a much better offensive player than he is, which is kind of scary. But defensively, he's a stud. And I think with just the way the NBA is in terms of defensive versatility, I understand the intrigue for sure.
Yeah. I mean, to me, you agree with me that his offensive upside, and now when we say upside, that means like, okay, if everything breaks right for you, you're going to reach this. I think his offensive upside is someone like Tyson Chandler. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I think, but I will say this is kind of a, maybe even a bad thing for him, but we were at that workout, and he had one, he worked out with Towns and Russell, and again, I had heard, you know, from different people that like when you put at Kentucky, like when you put him in a one-on-one workout, like he can do some stuff offensively, but then the second you put defense out there, everything changes, which is the case with a lot of guys. But I mean, he was stroking threes, like his shot looked good, you know, like, and it wasn't, you know, two or three there, two or three here, like he was just banging some threes. It's just, that's almost a bad thing for him, because he's one of those guys who kind of plays outside of himself a little bit. But no, I agree with the Chandler offensive upside comparison. But I think he's a guy who'll be able to make a 15-footer in time.
Yeah, but to me, he's pretty much offensively, he's got to be a center. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting, like the idea of the Kings putting him next to Cousins. I don't particularly like that fit. Although he could definitely guard power forwards defensively, though. For sure.
I mean, he can guard wings. Switch. Yeah.
Explain to people like how he was actually used at Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, he guarded everybody. Everybody. I mean, he was chasing, you could see in the NCAA tournament, he was chasing around Jerry and Grant half the game, you know what I mean? That last second heave when he blocked that shot at the buzzer, like, he ran step for step with him for 94 feet, And, yeah, they switched him onto guards. They played him on guards to start. He's going to guard, like, a ton of perimeter players in the NBA, and I don't know if you know Kevin O'Connor. He did a piece. SB Nation and the Sports Aptitude stuff, and he did a piece on Willie, comparing like all of his agility testing and stuff that they did at Kentucky Pro Day, and it basically proved that he's like the most agile, fluid guy at that size. I don't know if it was just in this draft or in, the last X amount of years, but it was a really good piece, and it just showed you, like, this guy, you're not supposed to move like this at that size. So he's going to guard wings, I think, in the NBA, and, like 3 through 5.
Yeah, and, with the way switching has become so in vogue now, it's definitely something that you can look at, but, maybe not someone who has the offensive upside of some of these other guys. So the last thing I kind of wanted to ask you about is there's this huge scrum of wings that are kind of, in the next tier. We got, and fill me in if I miss anybody here, but off the top of my head, we got Winslow, Hezonja, Stanley Johnson, Devin Booker. Who else am I missing that's kind of
Oubre. Kelly Oubre, you could say. Then if you go deeper, you got, Rondé, Justin Anderson, Sam Decker, guys like that.
Well, so is there kind of a clear, if you're ranking those guys into kind of tiers, where do you think you would put those guys? Like, what's the first tier among those group? Is it just Winslow? Or is there anyone else in there that you think should be there also?
I'm a huge Hezonja guy, to be honest.
Okay, do you think you have him above Winslow?
Yeah.
Personally? Okay, why is that?
He is a NBA level athlete, with a really 6'8" good frame that's going to continue to fill out, and he shoots it in like a lot of ways. Not just stand there spots, but like he can hit you with step backs. He's really good running off of screens. He doesn't have the most polished handle right now. He can straight line drive and go. People worry a little bit about the free throw rate. Like, he barely gets to the line, which is of concern. I think some of that is role, though. What I love about him, though, is like, this dude is a competitor. I think that, there are times when, he didn't give full effort on defense, because a lot of that is like, he's been this hyped, Croatian wing. He's been one of the more hyped players in the youth circuit internationally for a long time, and he's there in Barcelona, and they can use him. But he'll play, one game he'll play 15 minutes, the next game he plays no minutes, and they'll put him in it, for a 2-minute stretch, and he's not exactly the guy who takes that type of stuff really well. But I think when he is like given a situation to play a lot of minutes, like, he can really guard, man. Like, he can really guard. Like, if you watch just even some highlights or the video I did, like, he gets up into guys and is just ripping them. Like, he really good lateral quickness, good body, able to stay in front of guys, and just like a competitive dude. So I think, to me, he's a two-way wing who's athletic, can straight line slash, and really make shots. And, as people think that the NBA is filled with all these amazing wings, but like that's really not the case. So I really, really like Mario, and I think he's like, to me, he's like a top five guy.
Wow. Okay. That's definitely the most ringing endorsement that I've heard of him. Not someone that I've had a chance to see a lot of, unfortunately, since I only start really watching film once, you know, the NBA season starts winding, or the playoffs start winding down. But I'll take a closer look at him now that you said that. So how about Winslow then? I'm kind of getting the impression that you're not as high on him. Is part of that because you don't necessarily believe in his three-point shooting this year?
Yeah, that's – I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, Winslow is awesome. He guards everybody. He's tough as nails. He's probably got the best mentality in terms of, like, laser-focused winning attitude in the draft, you know what I mean? And he has a really good feel for the game. I just
– Yeah, makes winning plays. Right. Like, you know, whether it was the U-19s, whether it was Hoop Summit last year. I mean, I thought he willed that USA Hoop Summit team to victory against what might have even been a superior – world team, and then obviously at Duke, like, he just makes all of the plays in the floor game.
No, yeah, you're totally right. I mean, he's been doing it forever, too. This guy's been part of the USA basketball circuit seemingly forever. I mean, he's just a winner, and he's tough as nails. But, yeah, the shooting thing is the biggest concern for me. Maybe it's, you know, just hard for me to get – you know, you can over-scout guys almost, especially when they're too young. And and I just remember – you know, seeing him, whether it has Hoop Summit or Adidas Nations or all these different events. And, like, I mean, his shot was very, very broke. You know, like, he wasn't – you weren't like
– I remember, yeah.
Yeah, you know. Like, you weren't like, oh, no, that's really got a chance. Like, he was shooting on the way down different every time. Like, his wrist was all jacked up, you know. Like, and credit to him. Like, I would have never, ever thought that he would shoot 41% from three, you know. I just think that – I'm not quite sold on it. And, you know, 64% from the line backs that up a little bit. I just think when you move, like, he's such a worker that he learned how to make college spot up threes. But the NBA line is a challenge, you know what I mean? And you have a lot better athletes closing out to you. And I think what was a big advantage for him was he had so much of his success playing the four, you know what I mean? And then you have college fours closing out to you. And, you know, obviously they guarded him with different guys and better athletes. But I just think that's going to be an adjustment for him. And he's just going to need to be able to, you know, shoot it, continue to shoot it at a really good level because, you know, he has good physical tools. But, you know, he's like a 6'6" and a half, you know, wing who's a good athlete. He's not like a freaky athlete, but he does all the intangible stuff. So to me, he's like a really, really high-level role player.
Yeah, I think, you know, and he was obviously, he was terrible on two-point jumpers. To me, and you watched shooting closer, but to me it seemed like he kind of developed just like more of a set shot on catch-and-shoot three-pointers, and that's what he was able to make. And that's probably what he'll have to shoot from the NBA line, too, is more of a set shot. But then when he gets into his jumper, which what I noticed in high school and still notice in college is that he really just shoots on the way down and it doesn't really look nearly as good when he's shooting his jump shot.
Right. No, you're totally right on that. He's set shot. It was much smoother this year, but I just like for a guy who, if you want a guy to be like a guy who's going to consistently like score for you at, you know, everyone talks about mid-range jumpers dead, but that's really not true. And you have to make shots off the dribble for me if you're going to be like a top one or two option, you know what I mean? And so I just still, you know, want to see more of that. But, I mean, he has a lot of stuff that you really can't coach or teach. So he's an awesome prospect. I'm not sold on the shooting yet.
The thing that makes me – and – you know, I agree with all of your concerns. The thing that gives me some hope for him, though, is just how much he's improved in the last year. I mean, you remember, like, the way he used to dribble. He was a very, I thought, defensive dribbler in transition.
Yeah.
You know, he's added a lot of moves to going to the basket. He'll do, like, that James Harden, like, extend the arms and get fouled thing.
Yep.
You know, his Euro steps are really nice. You know, that's not something that he had a year ago, and then also the three-point shooting, which he's added just on the set shots, that's what kind of makes me think, all right, this is a guy who could develop maybe in ways that we don't anticipate. You never want to count on that, but I do think maybe he has a little higher upside than some people think just because of how hard he's worked and what he's been able to add to his skill level.
No, I mean, you have to look at the progression there, and like that dude is a worker. Like he wasn't at the same level as Jimmy Butler. Obviously, he was a very highly touted guy. Justice went to Duke, not Marquette, but you see some similarities in terms of like just really, really honing in and getting better and better and better every year. So you can't count that kid out.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said it, because that was actually one of the comparisons that I thought of as well, as someone who had a good body, competed really hard. You thought of as just a role guy, and then all of a sudden you saw these skills pop up for him. I mean, obviously, they have different pedigrees. Butler was never the type of recruit that Winslow was, but you know, what Butler did this year, you never want to count on that, because that was just, one of the most unprecedented transformations that we've seen in NBA history, what Butler did this year. But it's something to consider when a guy has shown that level of improvement. All right, so I guess any of those other, you think it's kind of Hezonja and then Winslow. Is there anyone else that you put kind of in that area?
I like Stanley. I think that Stanley's year is tough to judge because if you just consider like the lineups he was playing with, so think about this. Like, this is a guy who's going to be playing three and even a lot of four in small lineups in the NBA. And he was playing the two next to TJ McConnell, who's not a great shooter. Then Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, can't shoot. Brandon Ashley, who's like a average mid-range shooter. And then Caleb Tarzewski, who doesn't play outside of 5 feet, For a guy as big as him, that's kind of a tall order. So I think he's going to look a lot better to me with NBA spacing, and he's got that low release. He kind of short arms it, but there were times when he looked really, really good shooting the ball, and he sped up his release. He can make some shots off the dribble. So I don't know. I like Stanley a lot more than most. I think it's just for him, it's like buying into being like a dog. Like if you put Justice's mindset in Stanley's body and skill set, like you would have this awesome prospect. I just think he needs to be like Ron Artest plus and not try and be, Kobe or whatever. I think buying into being like a tough dude and playing with a chip on his shoulder is big for him. But I like Stanley more than most. Devin Booker, I think, is someone who's really, really rising. What is rising, but I think he's impressed some people with his athleticism. He's a little more athletic than people think, and he really shoots it. So he's been selling that whole Klay Thompson thing for a while, so I could see him going as high as top 10 even.
What else does he do besides shoot it? He's another guy that I haven't really watched very much of at all.
Not a ton, to be honest. He's not a guy that I'm like in love with, because I kind of think he is a bit one dimensional, but he's got a pretty solid, 1-2 dribble pull up game. And he has a good feel. Like he's a smart kid. He makes the right play. He moves off the ball pretty well. He has good size. And, I think, he is a little bit of a better athlete than we give him credit for, but he's fluid with the ball. He's not like doesn't have a ton of combo moves or anything like that. So to me, he's more of a shooter or, 1-2 dribble pull up guy, sometimes get all the way to the rim. But he's pretty much cut and dry prospect.
Yeah. So do you see him as a guy? And also we should mention that he's, as I recall, one of the youngest guys in the draft, right?
Yeah. He's the youngest. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you see him as a guy who can handle the ball and pick and roll and sort of like a secondary action on the weak side, or is that a little bit beyond what his game projects to?
I think so. I think a little bit. I mean, it's not something you want to count on, but I don't think he's like super uncomfortable with the ball. Like he's fluid with the ball. Like he's a guy who can grab a rebound and push the break a little bit, But he doesn't quite have like elite bursts with the ball. He's not going to like change speeds and direction a ton, So I don't think he's like strictly a spot up guy, but I wouldn't want him like making plays with the ball consistently. But he can pass a little bit. And he's got a good feel, so I think that'll help him.
All right, we've taken up way too much of your time already. Two more quick hitters here. Who has the highest ceiling of anyone in this draft?
I think it's Towns. Obviously, that's an easy one. That's a big reason why he's going number one. He's got a high ceiling and a high floor to me, just because you know, he's looking a lot more explosive. He can play, you know, four and five, and you know, we covered all that. But I think outside of him, I would say Porzingis. If he's able to grasp the game mentally, I think he could be really, really good, just because he can do so many things. I mean, you can run this guy's, he's either 1 or 7-2, you can run him off of screens, you know what I mean? Pick and pop, pick and roll, he can catch lobs, he's a good athlete, he's not like a fantastic athlete, but, and he's a guy who can protect the rim in time, if, again, he continues to grasp the speed of the game. And you know, we just don't have a lot of those guys who stretch you out to three, like at a really high level, and can be an asset on defense. So I think, being like a high best case, he could be, you know, a two way high level stretch type of guy. And that's pretty unique.
Yeah. I mean, and for those who don't know, he played in the ACB league last year. I think he had a 25% usage rate overall competitions, which is remarkable for a guy, a 19-year-old playing in the second best league in the world. He also played in the Euro Cup as well. So that's another thing to consider with him, is that, all right, maybe he doesn't look that amazing on film, but he was an effective player in the second best league in the world, shooting a lot of shots at 19 years old.
Right. Yeah. And he's got all the right people around him. And his brother was a pro for a long time. And the kid really, really wants it. And I think that's a big thing. He's going to be able to adjust, I think, to, you know, the American lifestyle and all that fairly seamlessly for a kid from Latvia, you know.
All right. What about who's being talked about in the top 10? Do you think concerns you as a guy who might not be quite as much as he's cracked up to be, or has a potential like high failure rate?
Kelly Oubre. I know he's maybe not as, you know, slipped out of the top 10 on a lot of boards at this rate. But, I mean, yeah, there's a good chance he still goes in the lottery. But he's just kind of one of those guys who really looks the part. And, you know, he's going to be able to guard multiple positions. But he just doesn't have a lot of game. And, like, his ball skills are very, very limited. He's a very, you know, streaky shooter. Like, he really, like, the ball really slows him down, and it hurts his athleticism a little bit. And on top of that, I think if he were this, like, if he was, like, a Justice Winslow, then, you know, awesome. Like, you really take a shot on him. But I'm not sure that he is, you know, as in love with the game and as you would like him to be able to, you know, maximize that potential. So I think there are maybe some concerns there. And he's a guy that I would, that, you know, is really intriguing, but that I would probably stay away from him.
Yeah, you know, after the 2014 Hoop Summit, I wrote that he had by far the best physical tools of any of those U.S. wing guys, with his 7'2 wingspan and, you know, really great jumper, especially off of one foot. But it doesn't look like he does a whole lot of other than just, you know, shooting standstill threes and then maybe, you know, getting out in transition and dunking from an offensive standpoint right now.
Yeah, he would be, you know, kind of an elite 3-and-D guy, I would think, you know, a 3-and-D guy with some potential for growth if he's able to, you know, improve his ball skills and stuff like that. I mean, he's still young. He's got one of the best basketball, like, frames for a wing prospect that you'll really ever see. So yeah, I mean, there's some stuff there. It's just, he's really not, as much of a player as maybe he looks like he is.
All right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up. Thanks so much to Mike for coming on. Where can we follow you on Twitter, Mike?
It's, @Mike_Schmitz.
Yeah. And obviously follow, Draft Express as well. Seriously, if you want to bone up on these prospects, the best 15 minutes you can spend is on one of Mike's videos. You know, he's done the days and days of work on each of these to condense it down. And so, you know, even much more than reading scouting reports or anything else that you could do, watch those videos. They're fantastic. Thanks so much to Mike for coming on. You can follow me on Twitter at NateDuncanNBA. You can subscribe on iTunes. We always appreciate a rating as well, hopefully a good one after an awesome guest like this. And Danny and I will probably be back to start getting into free agency tomorrow night. Thanks again for listening. And Mike, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Nate.
All right, till next time, y'all.